And unfortunately, to add serious insult to injury, salt into the wound, this past Wednesday, you would have heard the passing of the legendary Sanusi of our time, Baba Credo Vusimazulu Mutwa, unfortunately leaving our midst at a time of very, very great trepidation for our nation. Slow Moletsane, author, clairvoyant and filmmaker, joining us now to recount the man that was. Slow, good morning. Nomzane Moletsane, are you there?
Yes, yes, I'm here, sir.
Thank you very much for joining us on Weekend Breakfast. I was just saying, a horrible time to be losing one of a long list of very, very special South Africans that have fortunately left this mortal coil this past Wednesday. Credo Mutwa leaving us at the age of 98.
Yes, yes, it's a sad moment for South Africa and beyond. Good morning, Nicholas, and good morning to 702 listeners. Yes, we lost a great man. Mutwa was one of a kind.
There's very many different levels to Baba Mutwa, though. Let's be quite honest. I mean, some may argue that he was first and foremost an Inyanga, a Zulu Sangoma, among the finest that could speak at length and with absolute authority on African mythology, traditional Zulu folklore, as well as extraterrestrial encounters. But he was so much more than that. He was also a shining example to what South Africans can produce from an arts and culture point of view.
Yes, yes. You was. You must remember when you are a Sanusi that that's the highest form of all the sangomas that we have. So the training that he received was not a normal training. It was the highest form and the intense one. So he was not just he was a keeper. He was a guardian who was trusted with the knowledge of Africa. Not just only South African knowledge, and actually Africa and beyond Africa.
And I mean, there's many ways to try and sort of point to his seminal works to understand the level of production that Baba Mutwa put out there during his time. But I suppose maybe his most celebrated work was Indaba My Children, published in 1964.
Look, I think... yes, we didn't celebrate him accordingly or enough, but lately, before his passing on, our South African government, they did the best that they could. But internationally, you know, it's always like that. Even artists here in South Africa, they will only get the recognition, you know, outside the border. But to say he was not celebrated enough, yes, but lately, like during his sunset days, they tried to be there and to recognize him, more especially Natum Tretwa, with the award and all of that, and with the renovation of his house and the museum that they built for him. So, yeah. But internationally, he was well-renowned and he was celebrated. And we're still going to celebrate him. It's not just going to be that. I mean, his legacy is not going to go into the dustbin. He's going to be celebrated as long as you are alive.
Like I said, the man wore very many hats as an Inyanga, as a really absolute repository and fountain of knowledge when it comes to traditional folklore and Zulu culture here in South Africa. But he was also known for his prediction of future events. He foresaw,
for instance,
Chris Hani's assassination, the ousting of Thabo Mbeki, and other seminal moments in South African history.
Yeah, no, he was, he had that gift of, you know, tapping into the future, predicting things and events that were going to happen in the future. He predicted so many things. Yes, the Thabo Mbeki one, there's one that I don't think our people knows about it. When George Bush Sr. came to his village in Soweto, he's the man who told George Bush Sr. that one day he's going to rule his, he's going to be the president of his country. And when that happened, Jesus, But obviously, he was not going to come back and tell him. He predicted so many things, that the regime of Mangope was going to fall apart. He predicted HIV, AIDS. He predicted so many things. There will never be another one like Mutwa or like him. So he had that gift of tapping into who does that. You tap into, you ask him about something that happened 200,000 years ago when he was not even there. But he will tell you that. He will give you answers. You know, anthropologists, when they will seek answers and whatever, they travel all over from wherever and they will come to South Africa and to seek his wisdom and knowledge and answers. So yes, his predictions were always on point, and everything that he predicted, it manifested, it happened, you know, it's come to pass.
We can only hope that his wisdom may shine on now as an ancestor, an Idlozi. How would you like him best to be remembered, as he was, of course, one of your mentors over very many years? What is the one teaching that you could perhaps encourage other South Africans to hold dear and remember Baba Mutwa by at this point in time?
He was not selfish. He sacrificed his life for his own people. He didn't want to be a wealthy man, a rich man. He didn't want to use his knowledge for, you know, for financial gains and all of that. And obviously, his work, I remember him for, I will forever remember him. I mean, the books that he has written more than 18 books. We only know about the Indaba, the book, Indaba, what do you call it? Sorry, I forgot. You know, I'm crazy. Indaba, My Children. So he has written more than 8 books, and unfortunately, some of the books are out of print. And he collaborated with hundreds of people, you know, filmmakers, authors, anthropologists, scientists, and all of that. So that's how I will remember him. He was not a selfish man. He sacrificed his life for his people.
Thank you very much for your time, Slow Moletsane, filmmaker, author, and clairvoyant, talking to us about the passing of Baba Credo Mutwa. Such a difficult piece of news to try and digest at an extremely trying time for our country. Let's hope that Baba Credo Mutwa has joined the long list of Amadlozi ancestors that are now going to be repositories of knowledge that our current leaders can draw on at this very, very testing and trying moment in South Africa's history. May his wisdom and his power live on in generations to come.